Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, October 25th, 2012.
Can have with me of a city that shines so bright at night. When love is true, but this love he finds you, and there is a fire in his eyes where I can see it.
I Have a Dream, It Feels Like Home, the title track from the City Harmonic's newest CD. Both the song and the CD have garnered a total of 6 nominations for this year's GMA Canada Covenant Awards, and will be presented in Burlington early next month. Tonight's guest, Eli Dummer, is the vocalist, pianist, and songwriter for the City Harmonic, and he's on the line with us to talk about the group, the CD, and the latest news. Good evening, Eli.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Not bad. Well, let's get, as we get started, let's give our listeners a little bit of information about you, how you got started in that. How did you get started as a musician?
Oh, I mean, I've been playing music in one fashion or another since I was quite little, I suppose. And I know that's actually true for all the guys as well. Mm-hmm. And we've all been either in piano lessons or, you know, one thing or another. So I started, you know, my own band when I was about 12, and started leading worship at my church around the same time. So all those things kind of come together hand in hand, I guess.
Yeah. Well, who were you looking at it as you were growing up? And did you start with piano, or is that something you moved into?
No, piano was my first instrument, and then picked up guitar when I was like 9 or 10, and then sort of have been rolling with both since.
Yeah. Well, so who have been your influences as a musician, like as you were developing?
Well, my parents, dare I say it, my dad especially is a huge classic rock fan. So I grew up listening to bands like, you know, Led Zeppelin and Chicago and Elton John. As if my dad's a huge fan of Elton John, and mm-hmm. my middle name is actually Elton as a result. So I grew up playing all kinds of stuff. I mean, I used to play Andrew Lloyd Webber and Elton John and Beatles songbooks. That's sort of how I learned after my sort of initial run at piano lessons. And so, I mean, it ranges all over the place. We're a pretty eclectic group of guys as well. I know pretty much all 4 of us play the piano to some capacity. Josh is probably a better pianist than I am. And we just, you know, we've all sort of grown up listening to all kinds of music. And in terms of the Christian music world, I would have grown up, you know, listening to Delirious and bands like that, and Matt Redman and guys like that, and just trying to lead worship and follow that pattern as well.
Were there any Christian pianists that caught your interest as well? Any of the keyboard players?
Actually, I mean, in the 90s, it wasn't very common, if you remember.
Yep.
It was mostly sort of acoustic guitar-led stuff. although you'd have the odd guy here and there. Michael W. Smith, of course, in the 80s was doing his thing and was quite good at it. And actually, we had the pleasure of meeting him and hanging out with him a bit this summer, and that was really great. But yeah, I mean, there haven't been that many very popular Christian pianists other than, say, Michael W. Smith, to my mind.
Yeah, well, I think one of the biggest things was that the 80s, there was a lot of keyboard-driven stuff. You had Michael W. Smith. You had some of the Harland Rogers, I believe, was one of the, and Keith Green, you know, were some of the biggies during the 80s. But then there was sort of a shift away from that to more guitar-driven stuff into the 90s with, like you mentioned, Delirious and some of those groups.
Yeah, and now it sort of feels like anything goes.
Yeah. Now, how did the City Harmonic itself come together?
Yeah, well, Aaron and I, Aaron's the guitar player in the band, he and I have been playing together by now almost 10 years, leading worship in different capacities together. And Eric was a good friend of ours. We sort of made a band 6-7 years ago to lead at local conferences, and we were involved in this college and high school-aged event called Cross Culture in Hamilton, which was sort of about equipping students to worship through being involved in social justice in the city. And so we did that for a number of years, and then sort of felt like it was time for a new season, like we needed to sort of start fresh and just really focus. I think especially when you write worship songs, there's a lot of pressure to write a certain kind of song, otherwise it's not a worship song, you know?
Yep.
And so we decided to really say, you know what, let's throw out some of that rule book and say, we're just going to really put effort into writing songs that we collectively love. And if it moves us, then we pray that it moves somebody else to worship, too. And so that's really what we did with the City Harmonic. We sort of abandoned everything we'd done so far and said, let's start fresh and just write songs we love and not worry about the practicality of it, I guess. And in the end, the irony is, of course, that more people are singing City Harmonic songs than the songs that we were trying to write for the church, you know? So it's been a neat season, you know? I mean, we grew up in Hamilton where there has been this church movement called True City that has taken place over the last 10 years, and that's had a huge influence on us in terms of how we formed as a band and band name and stuff like that. I mean, all four of us are from different churches and different denominations, and that's unusual enough as it is.
Well, and you mentioned the band name and that. How did the band come up with that name?
Well, basically, we wrote most of our music first. Most of our initial EP, Introducing the City Harmonic, we wrote that first before we named ourselves, sort of with the intent of working backwards from what we thought was actually happening with the music. And so we came up with the word Philharmonic and then realized that obviously wasn't going to work. And so we sort of, you know, played with the word a little bit and decided that with the influence that the True City movement had had on us, and if you're not familiar, True City is sort of this grassroots church movement in Hamilton where they sort of band together under churches together for the good of the city. But basically, it's churches from across different denominations, across different traditions, really just working together and sharing resources to be a blessing in Hamilton, particularly in the urban core. So that's been a heavy influence for us. And so the word sort of has a double meaning. It's both a play on the word philharmonic and also the idea of a harmonic city, I suppose, a harmonious city.
Well, you mentioned songwriting and that. When did you yourself start getting into the songwriting end of things?
I've been probably writing songs as long as I've been involved in music, I guess. I've never been in a cover band, you know. I've never really seen any appeal for that for myself, and so I've barely even ever bothered to learn songs other than ones that I really love, you know. So, yeah, I've been writing songs probably since I was about 11, 12 years old, so that makes it about 18 years.
Wow. Now, are you a lyrics-first type of songwriter or a music-first type of songwriter? How does that whole process work for you?
Yeah, for us, we do things a little bit differently than some. Basically, we write the lyrics and the melodies separately. Oftentimes, the melodies come first, or maybe it's just that they come completely separately. So we would even play together. Like Manifesto is a good example. We wrote the piano part and played it together as a band and sang gibberish together until we knew what it felt like and what the core emotion of the song was. So then we called it Manifesto and put it away. Literally had no lyrics to it, and we just put it away until we went into the studio. And when we wrote that song, we brought with us the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, and the Lord's Prayer, because the song really is intended to sort of capture the spirit of unity, capture sort of a universal Christian idea. What is it that, if we call ourselves a Christian, that we believe? And we figured those ancient documents were a good start. So that's an example where we had everything put together except for the lyrics, and then worked the lyrics together. There are other examples where, like a song like Spark, where parts of the songs were written for a long time, and the melody was written totally separately, and then we thought, oh, this fits really well here. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of theme and emotion, and that's how we did it.
Well, I want to get a little bit more into some of the songs and some of the songwriting that you did done for Have a Dream. But what we need to do is take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with the City Harmonics vocalist and pianist Eli Dummer. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
The valley low, that's where we make our homes. But this I know, that's what he saved us for. 'Cause we've seen the glory of our King on the mountaintop. We've been to the mountaintop, we've seen the glory.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Mountaintop from City Harmonics' I Have a Dream CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with the City Harmonics songwriter and vocalist and piano player, Eli Dummer. We're talking about some songwriting beforehand, and looking at both this song, Mountaintop, and the title track, I Have a Dream. They were both inspired by Martin Luther King and his 1963 speech in Washington, where he spoke about, you know, his dream for equality, and that's where the famous line, you know, I have a dream, comes from. What inspired you in that whole songwriting phase to use that incident for two, not just one, but two songs?
Yeah. Well, actually, Mountaintop and I Have a Dream are technically inspired by two separate speeches, one, of course, being the Washington speech, and the other being a speech in Tennessee that he gave the night before he was shot, which, you know, is a dreary way to, I suppose, answer the question. But I Have a Dream is actually sort of a twist on not so much the theme of equality, although that's certainly valid and important, more the sense that MLK spoke to the tension of the American Constitution, the American principle, not being lived up to as a reality. So in the Washington speech, he refers to a check that had been cashed and has come up insufficient funds. You know, he's sort of saying we've got a promise and we're not living up to the promise. And so the song I Have a Dream for Us is about the tension in Christian reality. I think so often in our culture, we're encouraged as the church to act as though Christianity solves every problem in terms of our real life, our day-to-day life, that Christianity creates for us this perfect bubble. And frankly, I just don't believe that it does. I believe, if anything, Christianity gives us a purpose. It saves us for something. And what is that something that it's saving us for? And so I Have a Dream is sort of about the now but not yet, the idea that one day faith will be sight, and what is wrong will be right, and what is broken will be made whole, and it will be a final feeling. We often refer to the word hopeful nostalgia. It's this phrase that we've made up, the idea that C.S. Lewis said, if I find in myself a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, then it stands to reason that I was made for another world. And so in this album and in this song, we really tried to capture that sense of tension, that longing is absolutely like a hopeful longing, something we know is yet to be but will be.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely a Christian emotion that we don't give enough credit to.
Now, is that something that you sort of carried through the rest of the CD, that type of hopeful longing?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I don't suspect it will go away either with this album. I think it's one of those things that is an absolutely human and important and godly thing for us to long for things to be better. Maybe it's a prophetic voice, I don't know, not speaking of myself, but maybe it's sort of that tone of saying, you know what, God, we know that it's going to be this way, that how it ends is an important part of our story. And actually, we talk about that in our latest single, Holy Wedding Day, as well. You know, the sense of anticipation, mm-hmm. very important. Mountaintop is actually, like I said, a reference to Martin Luther King's speech he gave in Tennessee, where he's referring to the story of going to the mountaintop. You know, we've been to the mountaintop. And I guess the thing for me is that I actually played with that, with the idea of the transfiguration, when Jesus takes several of his disciples up the mountain and reveals himself in all his glory to them. You know, and what ends up happening is that they go up there with him, and they see him and his you know, Moses and Elijah, and their response as good Jews is, you know what, we need to build a place for you guys to be, to separate you from us, and we need to build a place for ourselves so that we can stay here forever. Both of which are really easy knee-jerk reactions to God. One being, God, you belong over there and I belong over here because I can't be with you or like you. And the other being, can we stay? You know, it's like the idea of the conference high, but the conference is supposed to last forever.
Yeah.
But God's response is, listen to my son, and his son's response is to immediately lead them down the mountain again into the valley, where chronologically they come face to face with a demon-possessed boy.
Mm-hmm. Well, looking at that, looking at both Mountaintop and looking at I Have a Dream, and this goes back to the whole creative process, how did Martin Luther King come into the picture for you, and listening to those speeches and sort of realizing that, hey, there's elements in here that we can take, and while he was speaking about a particularly temporal situation, here's a spiritual analogy that we can draw to that, you know, with both, you know, the transfiguration and that hopeful longing. How did you come across Martin Luther King stuff to be that influence?
Well, I mean, he's obviously an iconic preacher, and so his speeches are something not unfamiliar to us, you know. I Have a Dream is a very old song of ours that we were working on, and as we started to sort of feel like it would be the linchpin for the album, it made sense to start to look at other speeches and say, how might this come together? Because we really sought to tell a whole story with this album. I wouldn't call it a concept album by any stretch. It's a bit too pretentious, but we're definitely aiming to say, this is a complete idea in time for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mountaintop came in the same way. You know, it's, I guess, one of the fascinating things, one of the sort of twists of that transfiguration thing is that later on in his life, Peter's telling the story again. You know, he's telling about the tent, about seeing God on the mountain, you know, and he says, so long as I am in the tent of my body, I will tell of these things, which is a total play on words on the tent he would have built in which God could live.
Right, right.
So for us, this album, and much like Martin Luther King had a cause in mind, like he said, I absolutely believe that this is the foreseeable future. And so for us, we're saying, we believe that the church, being the bride of Christ, living in eager anticipation, and acting as though every day matters could very well be the foreseeable future for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, looking at this and looking at the what's happened with the album, that part of that is the fact that you guys have got a half a dozen nominations now from the GMA Canada Covenant Awards, including Song of the Year and Praise and Worship Song of the Year, and both of those were for the song I Have a Dream. When you heard about the nominations and that, what kind of went through your mind as you were hearing about these things?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely encouraging. We had sort of a similar situation last year where we had several nominations, and it was unexpected, I suppose. Most of what we've been doing, especially, has been in the U.S. So it's been encouraging to sort of feel like we might have the opportunity to come home more once in a while. we're pretty excited about it, eager to see what comes of it, I guess. Yeah. But, you know, honored and flattered, nevertheless.
Now, what does it mean for you as a songwriter to have your work, you know, recognized this way? And in some cases, and I mean, I've talked to writers and musicians and that over the years, and it's never something that you seek, but there comes a sense of validation that, you know, my stuff is being recognized as quality. What does it mean for you to be recognized like that?
Oh, it's definitely encouraging, absolutely. At the same time, I could write a song that critics might love that nobody gives a hoot about, you know? And so for me, it's almost more important to think that the people on the ground, that I can write a song that not only communicates something intelligent and has a message and a story, so it's not, gobbledygook, but it also is something that is accessible and can mean something to people. I suppose that's what it is I'm seeking. And so the biggest validation for me is standing in a room with people singing it, you know, more than anything. And so things like the awards and that, they are encouraging because it's sort of something from your peers, and that's great. But I guess really I don't know if I'll ever feel satisfied with something like that because I'm just aiming for something different, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we have to take one final break, and after we do, we'll come back and finish a conversation with the City Harmonic member Eli Dimmer. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. You've been listening to Wake Me Up from the City Harmonic CD, I Have a Dream, It Feels Like Home CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with the City Harmonic's Eli Dimmer. Eli, looking at that, and you're talking just beforehand about hearing people and that your validation comes from, you know, seeing people singing the songs that you've been doing. What's the reaction been to the CD?
Oh, I mean, good, for sure. We did a 65-city tour with the Newsboys in the spring, and it was exciting because we got to use sort of, well, part of our vision has sort of been to make a real immersive experience, you know? And so we've always been keen to see how we could integrate media and video and particularly the highlight lyrics and songs, you know? And so it was encouraging because we got to use the little junior screen that they had there for us. And it was interesting to see people who'd never heard songs before singing them by the second chorus, and then by the end of our set, you know, hands in the air, they're singing along to Manifesto. So that was really encouraging to go around and see people engage something for the first time and feel like they could make it their own anyway. And so we've sort of tried to take that same feeling, except we've sort of made it our own, for our headline tour that we're on right now, basically hoping to really create an environment for not just worship in sort of what people might assume that to mean, but in a sense of discipleship, so that worship can continue.
Yeah, you mentioned being on tour. What are some of the things happening with the tour right now?
Well, we just did the first few dates of the I Have a Dream tour down in California and Arizona, and it was an absolute blast. It's sort of our first time out there with a whole tour bus and a semi-truck, and the level of production has just been really exciting for us. It's something we're passionate to see happen, and it's happening, you know. So we're out there with a 25-foot LED wall and, you know, a huge PA and a crazy light show, and all of this sort of designed not just to make a whole bunch of, you know, pizzazz, but to really sort of point to the moments where we can engage and learn something about ourselves and about God. And so it's just been an absolute blast. Bob Lenz has been out with us, and he's just a fantastic speaker and somebody who's really, really passionate about discipleship. And just recently, actually, we added two Ontario dates, one at Redeemer University in Hamilton and the other at Heritage in Cambridge. So we're really excited to be coming your way and bringing this tour to Canada to give it a little bit of a try, I guess.
Great. Well, quicker
to home.
We just got a quick minute left here. Where can people find out more about the City Harmonic, and especially if they're looking for the tour dates in this area?
Yeah, absolutely. If you go to thecityharmonic.com, that's our website, of course, and there's all kinds of information there. If you go to YouTube, our latest music video and single, A Holy Wedding Day, was actually shot on the tour with J.J. Heller. So it was filmed in Phoenix just a few weeks ago and is coming out. It came out... Anyway, it was filmed on tour a few weeks ago, and we're captures a moment in time for us of really what we're trying to do live.
Well, Eli, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thanks a lot, man.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection. Thank you today, and thank you to my guest, Eli Dummer. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at Selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.